Eagles Entertainment.
With the 13th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select...
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
Welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by LifeBrand. I'm your host, Fran Duffy. It's time to get you ready for week 11 already in college football. Last week was a doozy. I cannot imagine it's topped this week, but there are still some very interesting one-on-one battles for us to watch through and some intriguing matchups to break down. And we're going to start things off with Mr. Relevant, where ESPN's Kevin Negandhi returns to the show. He always brings the juice, and he is going to go through some of his big takeaways so far from this college football season, as well as maybe a player or two that he's got his eye on for Eagles Green next year. Now, after that, we're going to get into this week's matchups with Ben Fennell in Saturday Scouting. We're going to go through some of the top prospects. Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl announcements have begun, so we're going to go through some of that news as well. So we'll cover plenty there, as well as a new mock draft in Saturday Scouting. After that, we've got Pick 6. Ross Tucker and I continue our head-to-head battle, picking games in that segment. And then we've got our draft mailbag. We've got a mock draft from an Eagles fan at home we will get to in that segment. As always, be sure to head on over to Apple Podcast, leave us a rating, leave us a review. If you've got a question, a mock draft, rankings, anything you want us to break down, that is the place to leave it. Not only can we help you there, but you're also helping us boost that show up the rankings so that other people looking for NFL draft podcasts can come across this show. And look, help us help you. We'll answer one of your questions as well. That said, let's not waste any more time. Excited to catch up with Kevin Negandhi. It's time for Mr. Relevant.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
Well, excited to welcome back to the show a guy who's been here multiple times, and he's always great every single time he's here on the Journey to the Draft podcast. That's Kevin Negandhi. You know him from ESPN. You could follow him on Twitter if you're not already, at Kevin Negandhi. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Fran, always a pleasure, man. Always love your work and follow you during the season and the offseason.
I appreciate it, man. We're going to get into what has been a wild college football season. Obviously, like I said at the top of the show, tough to top what happened last week, but college football always manages to find a way. But let's fast forward a little bit here to the month of December. Heisman votes, they got the big ceremony. If you had a Heisman vote, who gets it this year and why?
Well, to be transparent, friend, I do have a Heisman vote. So I will tell you, it feels like it's wide open. I think that C.J. Stroud was the favorite, according to Vegas, through most of the season. You had Caleb Williams, who's still around. Yep. We could see some magic in the final 3 weeks of the season. Hendon Hooker's name emerging, of course, a couple weeks ago. So to me, it feels wide open, and the games will decide it. Blake Corum, C.J. Stroud, these two guys face off not so much against each other, but their teams face off against each other. Drake May's kind of quietly emerging out of North Carolina with his numbers. Bo Nix and what he's done after the Georgia game. He's just been a one-man wrecking crew with that offense on the ground as well as with his arm. And another guy, Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett showed, I think, a lot of people in the country while we were focused on Hendon Hooker and what he did against Alabama, well-deserved. Stetson Bennett controlled that game, especially in the first half where he was like, nope, I'm the offense. I'm going to dictate how we're going to do it with that first touchdown on the ground and then a couple of nice passes on those two touchdown scores. So I think it's wide open. And like you mentioned, that's the fun about college football. It feels like it's the whole thing is wide open, and we'll find out in the coming weeks to see how it plays out. So right now, I don't think you could say there's a front runner after Hendon Hooker and Tennessee lost to Georgia.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like even all those names you just brought up, I'm trying to think like, okay, do any of these guys have a Heisman moment yet? And I don't know that we've seen it, but that's what this home stretch is for, and we'll see if any of that can come up.
And to your point, Hooker had his Heisman moment, right? With five touchdowns against Bama in that phenomenal win in Knoxville. We have yet to see C.J. Stroud to give us that, and maybe that's that Michigan game, right?
Yep,
maybe
sure.
That's the buildup where we see Blake Corum give us that Heisman moment. We're still waiting, and I think that's pretty cool about the experience where, too often we come into a season, especially with the Heisman in previous years, where we have a number one, and this is the guy who's going to do it. I always think of Spencer Rattler a year ago, right? The number one draft pick, and DJ Uiagalelei. These two are the guys that are going to be carrying the season, and then they fall And Spencer transfers, Caleb Williams takes over. That's the beauty of college football, where everything we know gets thrown out the door, you know, as we see October and November play out.
No doubt. And that's something all college programs are saying in their building is, as you're getting down to this home stretch, is that the seasons are made in November. So one of the things that I've always admired about you and your work, and when you talk about these players, is you're not just talking about them, what they do on the field, but humanizing them and presenting what they bring as people as well. Is there a guy's story that you feel like, if you're just a casual college football fan, or maybe you're just checking into this draft podcast now because your NFL team's out of it, you want to know who some of these players are? Is there one where you're like, yeah, you want to make sure you know about this guy's story?
So with that setup, this answer may be a little boring, because I am completely fascinated with Will Anderson, and I'm talking about maybe the number one pick in the draft, because the guy is a football lifer. Out of Alabama, he could have been potentially the number one pick in the draft if he was eligible last year, and I should say in the spring, right? Fullback in high school, early on. And the coaching staff decided, well, look at this kid's length. We're going to move him to defensive end and linebacker. And the cool thing about him is he turned himself into a star. He was physically gifted, but, you know, during practices in high school, he would ask for more reps. You know, when people are away, he'd come back to the facility and say, I want to do more one-on-one. He lived and breathed everything about football. And while a lot of high school kids are like, I'm going to enjoy being a high schooler. And I just love the young man's heart. Now, he's not putting up the numbers that we saw last year as a 19-year-old sophomore, because he's double-teamed and triple-teamed so often. The guy is a football junkie. He chose Alabama. You know, he's from Georgia, didn't get a Georgia offer at the time where he was making the decision, chose to go to Alabama. And the reason why is because of competition. He wanted to show up every day where guys around him had the same fire that he had. And I just love that story about a guy that's self-motivated and understands that I want to get motivated and better every single day when I go to practice. And it's not just about me. And Will Anderson's one of those guys that kind of, that stands out to me. I cannot wait to see him in the NFL. And he's kind of have that Micah Parsons type of impact, right? Mm. The guy that you can move around a little bit, has the versatility and the speed. I can't wait to see what happens. And I would imagine he would be, depending on who's getting that number one pick, because the quarterback is an overvalued position. He could be the number one pick, or maybe the number two pick, and whoever's going to get the young man, they're getting a special player.
And I was so glad too that you did bring up the one knock that people have seemed to be finding against him is like, oh, the numbers aren't there this year. As he's getting like double and triple teamed on a snap by snap basis, as if he didn't produce at like this legendary rate a year ago. He had over 100 tackles, 31 TFLs, 17 and a half sacks a year ago, just outrageous production. And so when you factor that in with what he has shown to be off the field, he is the total package in terms of what you're looking for a defensive player.
You're getting a guy where, you know, friend, you know, when you spend the value of a first round pick and you make the commitment, is the guy in love with the game? Yep. Does he want to come to the facility every day? Will Anderson's one of those guys, man. Like, he wants to be there every day. He wants to get better every day. That sets the tone for many of the franchises that kind of need that attitude adjustment, because they're drafting 1, 2, and 3. They have to change the culture. Will Anderson's one of those great foundational blocks.
So one thing I love juxtaposing is the difference in the coverage of some of these players from a college football standpoint than versus an NFL draft standpoint, because you'll hear different people say different things. And I know, like, talking with people that cover college football and focus in on that, they're like, oh, I can't believe people aren't talking about it this way. Or these people think he's going to go that high. This guy's going to go that high. So I want to ask you, is there a player that from a college football standpoint and watching it every Saturday from the studio like you do, that you're surprised just isn't getting more love from NFL draft analysts at this point?
It would be Zay Flowers, the wide receiver at Boston College. Listen, we've been very spoiled the last few years about wide receivers, especially going in the first round, 5, 6, 7, right? You know, from, you know, schools like Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, just producing nonstop talent. We're going to see that with Ohio State again this upcoming draft. Zay Flowers is one of those guys that week in and week out, man, he makes plays for that a BC team that is struggling. I think whoever gets the kid, you're going to get value with him, and it could be in the second round. I just love watching a kid play. He is a playmaker. That offense really has struggled. Another guy, and it's a tricky one here because I think whoever takes him in the first round, if he's not in the right spot, it may not work. If he goes to the right team and maybe in the 20s, it could be phenomenal. That is Anthony Richardson. When you watch the Florida quarterback, you're mesmerized. I mean, pure athlete, could do anything and everything you ask him. Can he consistently make the right passes down the field, right? He could do everything with the football. And when I say everything, we've seen now these hybrid quarterbacks, right, more predominantly in the game. Can you get him with the right coaching staff and the right system? Because if you can, and you watch him develop, and you don't give him everything, just, hey, let's develop here. Let's see what happens. I think the kid could be a stud in the NFL, the way we see that quarterback position change. The frame is huge, has a big arm, and he loves contact. So I'm a big Anthony Richardson guy, but I would also say that if he's not with the right group or the right people and the right coaching, especially early on, you could hurt the kid, right? So I would circle Anthony Richardson, especially when we're talking about a draft class that has C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis. A lot of people thought Tyler Van Dyke. We'll see about his injury, you know, as he's dealing with a very long season. There's a handful of studs in this draft. Anthony Richardson, I think, is the guy that could be like the Lamar Jackson, taken in the 25th overall pick by the Ravens, and then watching, and then boom, you turn your offense and you give it to him because he's ready.
Yeah, and to the question of juxtaposing the college football versus NFL draft coverage and NFL coverage in general, like comparing Anthony Richardson's college career to Justin Fields, it's not even close. Justin Fields was such a more established player, but coming into the NFL, having the issues that Justin Fields has, and then you see that dual threat ability come to the forefront as things are starting to slow down for him, and you're like, oh yeah, that's why this guy was so highly regarded from a tool standpoint, and Richardson clearly has those tools. So even if he's not a completely polished passer entering the NFL, you feel like he's got that ability to, you know, make those plays that others just simply cannot make at that position.
Fran, to your point too, one of the things we've seen with Justin Fields too, he didn't have weapons, right? And the coaching staff at the beginning of the season, it felt like they were restricting him, especially when you don't have a great offensive line. So I think they've decided, all right, let him run. Let him be himself, right? Let him run freely and make the decisions, and then you bring in a Chase Claypool. And then all of a sudden, there's a domino effect, right? Not just with Chase Claypool. Can other guys around him step up? And I just think it changes the whole vibe. I really like, and I'm not the only one who says this. I really like Anthony Richardson, but it all depends on where he goes, and does he have the right coaching and the patience around him? And if he goes to an organization that doesn't value that, then you just pray. You pray that he finds a way through that.
Well, Kevin, I know you always have your eye on your hometown and on the Philadelphia Eagles, still the lone undefeated team in the NFL. Is there a player you've seen in the college ranks this year that you're just like, oh, I would love to see this guy in Eagles green?
So, Fran, this is kind of a loaded question, right? Considering that we're following how the Saints play, right? And at the moment, they've got a top 10 pick.
Yep.
And also knowing the track record of Howie Roseman and knowing what he's done, you know, in upgrading this team when it comes to weapons, I would say knowing Howie's track record and knowing where the value of the space is in the top 10, I would look at Paris Johnson, Ohio State tackle, especially with the, you know, future of Lane Johnson and how much more he can do. Lane Johnson's incredible. And I know we've gone offensive line in the second round the last couple of years. They have paid off, right? That patience, give us, you know, the Landon pick, the Cam pick, like those are great foundational picks in the second round. I would love to have Jalen Carter out of Georgia, big number 88. A lot of people made the case that if he entered the draft last year, he would have been the number one Georgia player taken off the board when it comes to that defense. And then to have him next to Jordan Davis would be insane. Miles Murphy is another one that intrigues me, the defensive end from Clemson. Clemson has like at least five guys that are going to play on Sundays. Murphy's one of those five-star freak athletes that first step is pretty ridiculous. And I think he would fit really well if we're talking about aging on the end side and where we're at with Brandon Graham and, you know, Robert Quinn. And then staying in that theme, Jared Verse from Florida State, sure. Another end, edge rusher, linebacker. So it all depends. Like, it depends. Is Howie keep that pick or does Howie decide, hey, somebody wants a quarterback, I'm going to drop down. And then maybe you could focus on Joey Porter Jr., who I think is insanely good at the cornerback position from Penn State. So those are the things I'm looking at because I'm looking at it with the Howie Roseman sunglasses, right? Which you have to with the Eagles. And he's been fantastic at least the last couple of years correcting some of the stuff we've seen in the past.
Well, it's just funny because, you know, every week on the show, we'll go through a mock draft and, you know, we're picking from different sources all around the country and different sources all over the internet. And it feels like Miles Murphy is like, regardless of where that Saints pick lands, whether it's number 4 or number 13, it's like, yeah, Miles Murphy's going to slide in there. And then wherever the Eagles are picking, typically at number 31, it's like, all right, whatever the last run, whoever the running back is that's available on the board, the linebacker that's on the board, yeah, that's going to go there. It's like, to your point, it's like we have not seen that from this organization, is that high investment in those two positions. It's much more on O-line, D-line, and then you start getting into the wide receiver and corner positions. But I'm glad that you kind of look at that the same way. Miles Murphy is certainly the favorite amongst mock drafters at this point. Last question here, Kevin, as we kind of spin this forward to this week in college football, is there a specific player or a matchup that you're most excited to see here on Saturday?
I've got a couple here for you, okay, Fran. And it's not two guys that are facing each other. They're facing defenses.
Sure.
It's the ABC game on Saturday night, TCU versus Texas. Quinn Ewers against that TCU defense. And Max Duggan. Like, Max Duggan's been really, really good for TCU.
Yep.
They're the comeback team. I mean, they trailed in the second half four times this season. They're 4-0, right? So, like, I want to see how Duggan responds because Ewers is really talented. Ewers could have played that entire game in the opener against Alabama. I think Texas wins that game.
Yeah.
And I think if Ewers is healthy, we're talking about Texas in the top 10. So I'm looking forward to Ewers versus TCU and how does Duggan respond versus Texas in Austin. And then there's another one. And this is sneaky because of the storylines. Nick Saban coming off a loss, Alabama on the road at Ole Miss against his guy, Lane Kiffin. And Lane, you know, Lane likes to poke the bear all the time. And I want to see how, first off, Alabama responds coming off that loss. What kind of chip on the shoulder do they have? And, you know, now that you're out of the idea that you control your own destiny to get to the SEC title game, who shows up? And I think Nick will have his team ready. But Ole Miss, especially in Oxford, how will Lane handle it? And I think Lane will be ready for everything. And listen, Alabama can run the football, man. That is one thing that Lane has made sure. He's got two talented running backs. I want to see how Lane handles now. All right, does he put his foot on the pedal here against Bama? And how does Bama respond? So that to me is the matchup in the matchup, the chess pieces that we'll see from the two coaches.
It will definitely be one of the more fun games to follow here this Saturday. And I'm glad you mentioned Quinn Ewers as well. I know the box score hasn't been super friendly, but man, that kid is just so talented. It's cool to see the five-star kids that come in and follow through with that, right? And so Ewers, he's everything you wanted from a talent standpoint, no question.
Yeah, you know, all his swagger that we've heard and over the last 2 years, right, going to Ohio State for a year and sitting, you know, waiting and waiting, then coming back to Texas, all that swagger you see on the field.
Yep.
Texas is a completely different team when he's on the field. They're always in control. He's always making the right decision. And this is Texas's season. You can take down TCU at home under the lights, prime time on ABC. I kind of want to see how those five-star type of guys handle the moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Kevin, this has been awesome, man. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Journey to the Draft podcast. We will be seeing you on our TVs on Saturday.
Brent, thank you so much.
It's time for Saturday Scouting.
All right, time now to turn our attention to this week in college football. Before we get there, though, we've got some news to break down, Ben Fennell, because we've got our All-Star game announcements, they have started to trickle in. Eric Galco gave us the heads up last week here on the show that it would start, and we've got some from the Senior Bowl. We've got some from the Shrine Bowl. We'll break down a few of these names, and they're going to keep rolling in, so this will become a weekly thing for both you and I and then for Dane and I on the early week episodes as well. But we'll start with the Senior Bowl because there are a few less names there with the guys heading to Mobile, and we'll start with wide receiver Andre Yosivas from Princeton University, just here in the Ivy League. But Yosivas, one of the most explosive playmakers in college football.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of his tape. I've never heard of him. You know, obviously a little behind the eight ball with some of the my Ivy League tape at this point in the season. But it's exciting to see the opportunity and the video that Jim Nagy put out, given the history of Princeton at the Senior Bowl. It's been a while since they've had an Ivy Leaguer out there.
Yeah, no doubt. And Yosivas, known for, he's been on the freak list, I think, certainly this year. I think maybe last year as well. But he's in that 4.2 category in terms of 40-yard dash speed, and that shows up on the field. Let's now get to offensive lineman Cody Mauch from North Dakota State. He's a guy we've broken down a little bit. I know you had a chance to watch his tape. What does Cody Mauch bring to the field?
Yeah, he brings an attitude, a level of athleticism, being a converted tight end. It's a really fun offense there at North Dakota State, a lot of power football. He's certainly underpowered, a little underdeveloped in his lower half, but he's nasty, he's fun, can play out on the move, maybe converting inside when it's all said and done, but we'll see. It's a fun tape anytime you get your hands on that Bison football.
No doubt. And we go over to the opposite side of the football. Cameron Young from Mississippi State, defensive tackle. You and I actually watched him together for the first time this week. What did you take away from studying Cameron Young?
Yeah, an exciting, active, interior trench guy. Someone that, you know, typically lives around the center and kind of a one-tech, nose-tech category there. And really tough player in that rotational Mississippi State front that's pumped out a lot of quality trench players there from Fletcher Cox to Jeffrey Simmons and so on.
Yeah, he's got outstanding length. He's so strong, and he's got the ability to line up at a couple different techniques, but I agree. I think he's better suited to line up on the interior as close to the center as possible. And with teams really shifting towards more of those odd fronts, I feel like he can really find a home inside for an NFL team. Dorian Williams, I'm not sure if you've had a chance to study him at any point over the last couple of years, but a little bit of an undersized kind of run and chase linebacker, a lot of athleticism there. But Dorian Williams, another addition here to the Senior Bowl roster.
Yeah, huge 2020 season with tons of tackles for loss. Was all over the backfield, like you said, undersized, but a tackling machine at about 6'1", 225. Was the conference preseason defensive player of the year last year. Never quite lived up to the standards. Right. I think wanted to return this year, and I think he's playing much better football.
Let's go over to the Shrine Bowl. A bunch of names announced that are heading to Las Vegas here in late January. We'll start with the quarterbacks. Two of the top seniors announced they are heading to Las Vegas for the Shrine Bowl. Aiden O'Connell from Purdue, Clayton Toon from Houston. I'll let you pick one of the two because we got a bunch of names. We're not going to be able to hit on every single one. I'll let you pick one of the two, Aiden O'Connell or Clayton Toon.
I'll go Aiden O'Connell there, who has really good size there at 6'3", 210, 215. You know, can make all the throws from the pocket, wants to operate from the pocket as a distributor first and foremost. He just needs a better supporting cast around him. So I'm excited to see that opportunity and get some more NFL-level speed around him and to see if maybe he can be a day three pick that ends up being a starter or a backup.
O'Connell built, you know, that has that traditional pocket passer build. Clayton Toon a little bit smaller. Yeah. There was a lot of buzz about Toon in the summer. So I'm excited to get a chance to be able to see him in that atmosphere as well. And then a wide receiver. This is a big get for Eric Galco in the Shrine Bowl. Zay Flowers from Boston College. Kevin Negandhi talked about him in the last segment as well. What have we seen from Zay Flowers? It feels like we've been watching him together for the last like 3-4 years.
Yeah, an undersized playmaker. Can kind of win downtown or in the quick game with yards after catch or screen game opportunities or jet sweeps. Kind of embodies that Wandale Robinson type of profile where he's a little bit small, but he's a gadgety playmaker that you get get on top of the defense or, excel with some yards after catch.
Yeah, he can beat you in a couple different ways. Flowers is a fun player. I'm glad that he's healthy here this year. That was an issue for him a year ago. Now, the Shrine Bowl started all this off with three announcements. I believe it was on Tuesday, and it was three defenders. So I'm going to list the three names. I'll let you pick which one you want to hear hone in on. There were two linebackers. Ben Van Summeren from Michigan State, who was a transfer from Michigan, a former fullback at the collegiate level. Charlie Thomas, very productive player from Georgia. Georgia Tech, also another linebacker. And then lastly, safety, Jarvarius Owens from Houston. Take through, I'll let you pick one. Which one do you want to focus in on?
I like Owens, a guy that's converted from the nickel to the safety and now outside playing corner. So he's kind of a Tommy Tough guy, cornerback out there, no-nonsense guy that tackles exceptionally well, jams, reroutes, plays the catch point very well, just doesn't have the length the NFL typically covets. But I've seen guys like DJ Reed, you know, come out of Kansas State with that similar type of undersized, you know, alpha attitude out there that, you know, he's not going to get back down, and he has 200 pounds in his pants there. So I like the size, I like the temperament. Let's see if he could kind of get that timing in the four fives and be a special teamer at the very least.
That versatility is huge for him that you mentioned at the very top of that. I'm playing nickel safety, and then this year playing more corner. That is going to be big for his resume. Let's now get into this weekend though, Ben. We got some big matchups. Not as many of like the ranks versus ranks, but some really interesting ones. Is there one one-on-one battle that you're most excited to see here this weekend?
No, not particularly. It's a one versus three battle. Okay, I want to see Bryce like Young against some of these Ole Miss defensive backs.
Nice.
I think AJ Finley's a heck of a safety.
Yeah.
I don't see you know, a lot of conversations with him in the, you know, the top 100 buzz. I think he's a top 100 player all day long. I love Otis Reese, more of a box safety, the Georgia transfer.
Yep.
You have Ashim Young that came over from Iowa State. I think they're going to get their hands on a couple footballs out there in that Alabama game. And another, a little Sun Belt battle, about JT Killian, the tackle machine linebacker for Coastal Carolina, 6'3", 220, leading the team, captain on that defense. I think they're 8-1 this year and rolling. He's going to face big Frank Gore Jr. for Southern Miss, who's a guy that loves to break tackle. So I expect them to see each other in the hole often if you get Sunbelt on your TV on Saturday.
Frank Gore Jr. has been in college for like 17 years now. I remember like when he was coming out of high school, and it just feels like so long ago. For me, I will go in on a one-on-one battle. It's the ACC, 8 o'clock, ACC Network. We got Syracuse and Florida State. Matthew Bergeron, one of your favorite offensive linemen in this class, the left tackle for the Orange, going up against Florida State's pass rusher, Jared Verse, who we are seeing in first-round mock drafts. Bergeron, not quite yet, but still plenty of time for him to work himself into that talking space there, Ben. But Bergeron versus Verse, that should be a really fun battle.
Yeah, absolutely. Versus a power player, and I think Bergeron's been putting together a great season. Maybe not the sexiest tackle as far as athleticism or, you know, explosiveness, but I think he's going to be a nice day two pick all day long.
All right, let's get now to who's got the most to gain, a player who could really benefit from a strong performance this weekend. You talked about that Ole Miss-Alabama game, so I will go on the other side of the football there, and we'll go with Jonathan Mingo, the wide receiver for Ole Miss, has been really productive in his final season on campus. He's a big target, lines up mostly to the far left, and he's got the ability to beat you in a lot of different ways. He's had a couple of huge games this year doing that again against that talented Alabama secondary. That would be a good little feather in the cap there for his resume.
Yeah, there's battles all over this game. I love Troy Brown, the Central Michigan transfer, undersized linebacker out there, but he's third in tackling in the SEC right now. He's small, but he's strong. Should see Jahmyr Gibbs quite a bit on Saturday. And Ole Miss, the defensive lineman, J.J. Peggies, the converted tight end.
Okay.
The Auburn transfer.
Nice.
He is dominating this year. He's second in the SEC with interior defensive line pressures, 6'2", 315. Had a really fun career going from tight end to D-line and now over at Ole Miss since coming from Auburn. But he's a really fun player, and I expect him to be up Bryce Young's back.
Yeah, that's, again, a bunch of players. That Ole Miss defense in general has just been really feisty this year. They got players at all three levels.
Kari Coleman.
You know, DeAndre Prince. To talk about him. You and I studied him together last week as well. Let's now get to some of these later games. The prospect after dark. Who's a prospect playing in a game with an 8 o'clock start time or later that you'd like for us to profile?
We'll go UCLA, Arizona. Jake Bobo, the 6'5", 215 Duke transfer receiver, is a tall glass of water. Has great hands, 164 career catches. Had 100 targets last year at Duke. Was the team captain. Now, the downside is he's 24, but he shows it out there on the field. He looks like an alpha presence in the red zone. And Bobo, his dad's Mike Bobo, former Colorado State head coach. Then he was at South Carolina. I think he's an analyst at Georgia right now, so has the bloodlines, really good size, special teamer. Jake Bobo, a little bit older, but I could see him contributing right away for someone. So UCLA, Arizona, which UCLA is 8-1. They're a fun team to watch anytime you see you know, Zach Charbonnet and Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
It feels like UCLA, that one of the things they did this year was go into the transfer portal and get a lot of those older players. A lot of the guys that transferred in were 23, 24, 25, and those guys are making plays for them, taking advantage, and that's resulted in a lot lot of wins for that team so far with Chip Kelly. I will stay on the West Coast, and I'm going to go with Utah tight end Dalton Kincaid going up against Stanford, 10 o'clock on ESPN. So if you're staying up late, this is a good one to watch. Kincaid is now getting the lion's share of targets in that passing game with Brant Keithy, the other tight end, out of the lineup. So when you look at Kincaid, he's got the ability to go off any given night. He had that huge game, like, what was it now, 3-4 weeks ago, where it was double-digit catches, 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Kincaid, he's going to be playing on Sundays. You want to make sure you have eyes on him in this game against Stanford, another team that has a history of putting tight ends into the NFL. Kincaid, actually, ironically enough, reminded me a little bit of Zach Ertz, who played for the Cardinal in his college career. Let's now go to our Call Our Shot segment. We're going to predict a big game for this upcoming weekend. Last week, you pointed to TCU wide receiver Quentin Johnson, and not necessarily that he would have a big game against Texas Tech. You cited that Texas Tech secondary as being really tough. So you thought three catches for just 40 yards for the potential first-round pick. Now, Johnson got hurt in that game. He only played a couple of snaps before bowing out with injury. It looks like he will play this Saturday against Texas in that huge matchup that Kevin talked about earlier, Ben. But call your shot. Who's got a big game for you this week?
I'll go Cam Smith out of South Carolina. Nice. I think he gets two passes intercepted off Anthony Richardson this weekend at Florida, which this South Carolina secondary is really tough, allowing 180 passing yards per game. That's best in the SEC. Only one interception so far this year from Cam Smith, so he needs a signature performance against Florida. And their freshman in the nickel, DQ Smith, is a lot of fun. True freshman out there. So SEC, always some down-the-road guys as well.
Yeah, that secondary, like you said, they're flying around, and Cam Smith, a big reason why. Now, my prediction last week didn't quite hit the mark that I was hoping for. I predicted Mazi Smith, the defensive tackle for Michigan, would have a sack and four pressures against Rutgers. He came through with just one single pressure against the Scarlet Knights. So I am going to go back to that defensive tackle well, though, Ben. Kalijah Kancey has been one of the most disruptive defensive players in college football the last couple of years, going up against a Virginia offense that has really allowed a lot of opposing pressure for defensive linemen. Kancey, two sacks here against the Cavs. So we'll see if he can come through for me. But Kancey, the question will be his size and his frame. Can that carry over to the league? But his athleticism, his first step, his disruptive ability, that will not be put to question.
He'll be a fun one. He's going to be a guy that's going to have a second round grade from some teams and a sixth round grade from some teams. You know, he's an awkward body type. Some teams are okay with it, some are not. And he'll be a contentious prospect throughout the spring.
Before we get to our mock draft roundup, let's go to our comparison chat. Just use a pro comparison for a player that is taking the field this weekend. Real quickly, just because we talked about him earlier, Cameron Young, right away, just stood out to me. He looked like Benny Logan when Benny Logan was at LSU, former Philadelphia Eagle third-round pick. He's got that same kind of body type. Benny was also like in that 6'3", 6'4 range and had great length, and that allowed him to be a really effective nose tackle. And I think Cameron Young has that same kind of skill set, the same kind of body type. So Cameron Young really reminded me of the former Eagle.
Yeah, that's a good pick right there, and a guy that might have his best football ahead of him as well, like a lot of those Mississippi State trench players. Tyree Wilson at Texas Tech, getting a lot of love and a lot of mock drafts, has some freakish size and length at 6'6", 275, with over 35-inch arms, 85-inch wingspan.
Yep.
He has a tall glass of water, kind of inside-outside player. Well, it reminds me a lot of Dedrick Wise, also inside-outside player at Arkansas and for the New England Patriots, who's having a heck of a season. Over 35-inch arms, over 85-inch wingspan, 6'5", literally similar height, weight, speed, length, usage. I'm locking that in. I think Dedrick Wise is one of the more underrated players. Maybe not a guy that's a double-digit sack artist or tons of TFLs. Plays really tough against tight ends and tackles off the edge. Can contribute in three tech snaps. They just whooped the Indianapolis Colts. Go look at what he did to Quentin Nelson this weekend. Mm. So Dedrick Wise, really strong player. That's not a knock despite his draft spot. I think he was a fourth-round pick.
Yep.
I think Tyree Wilson would be right in that kind of 30 to 50 range.
How did Wise test? Did he test really well considering his size?
Yes, he had a really good explosive test. His vertical jump, I think he had a 10-4 broad.
That's what people are expecting from
which
Wilson.
Which a 10-4 broad for 275 pounds and 6'5 is ridiculous at that length. Yep. I think he benched particularly well as 24 reps at 35-inch arms. Strong player, long player, versatile player. I'll take him on my team.
Yeah, I was not big on Wise coming in. He's far surpassed what my expectations were.
I'll take a Dedrick Wise. I'll take a Daniel Wise. Those guys are really tough players. Any other Wise coming down the pipeline, we'll take him too.
We'll keep an eye out on the Midwest because Arkansas and then Kansas turned out the Wise brothers. Let's now finish it up with our mock draft roundup. And this week, we are going to go over to Chris Trapasso, put out a new mock draft on Wednesday over at CBS Sports. The top five picks here in this mock draft. We've got a kind of a different order here with this one. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the number one pick. pick in this mock draft. Alabama edge rusher Will Anderson off the board there. At number two, the Houston Texans take Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. The Carolina Panthers at number three take Ohio State's C.J. Stroud. At number four, the Chicago Bears select Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Georgia. And then, Ben, what do we say? Who's the fifth guy? Who's going to round out that top five? Well, here, the Indianapolis Colts at number five take Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, who it always seems is like that next guy up off the board there at number five. But that is how the top five round out. So people are saying, well, what's the first Eagles pick here? Well, it doesn't happen until number 13 in this mock draft, that pick from the Saints, resulting in Notre Dame tight end Michael Mayer. And this is just different, Ben. So I was like, we got to talk about this pick. Here's the blurb from Chris. He says, Mayer and Dallas Goedert together would be a really fun duo at tight end for Jalen Hurts. So, Ben, does this pick make sense? Would you be on board? What do you think of Michael Mayer, Dallas Goedert together in the same offense?
That'd be a heck of a combination, a heck of a proposition. Adding another, you know, perceived trench player to this Eagles offense would be an exciting proposition. You know, the fact that Michael Mayer can be that U tight end and not have to go right into a Y tight end role day one in the NFL, that's a perfect situation for him. Great situation for this offense. A great piece for Nick Sirianni. I mean, it's checking a lot of boxes. But 13th? I swear the Eagles were just picking fourth last week in a mock draft. So
it's a lot. It's a jumbled mess right now.
I don't know
now,
where the selections are coming from. I like seeing the different order here with the Steelers picking one, Eagles getting the Saints pick at 13, but that could be all over the place. So it's trending a little bit higher in my opinion, but Michael Mayer, 13th overall to this offense, I'll take it.
If I remember right, he said these were picked as from Super Bowl odds from one of the websites. So yeah, that, I think
I
that's
figured.
What
everyone's got their own so, formula yes. and way to do it. Or, you know, you want to hear a voice in your sleep. I don't really care however you do it.
Yeah. Again, we're just talking about names at this point. It's just discussion fodder. To me, like, that pick would surprise me. Some people would point to, oh, well, they took Dallas Goedert, you know, when they had Zach Ertz already on the roster. I think it's a much different kind of situation. You know, Dallas Goedert just got paid a huge contract, still kind of in his prime, and picking a guy at 35 or 38, I forget where Dallas Goedert is, exactly went off the board, is different from 13. That said, if we're saying, hey, he's the pick, yeah, that'd be fun. No question about it.
I've always tried to work in that Seinfeld line where he's at the party. The guy asks him, where do you get your material? And he's like, I hear a voice, but it's in German, so I have to get it translated. So I've always kind of like wanted to work that in. Like, I don't care where you get it from. If you hear a voice, go for it.
Well, I think that might work in this case with a mock draft. Let's now go with the three that went before, the three that went after. Just to get a sense again, who are we talking about here in this the meaty part of round one? At number 10, the Jacksonville Jaguars take USC wide receiver Jordan Addison. He seems to be pretty popular in this like 10 to 15 area. At number 11, Seattle takes defensive end Miles Murphy, who's been an Eagles favorite in a lot of mock drafts. At number 12, the Atlanta Falcons taking Army pass rusher Andre Carter II. This is the highest I've seen him in a mock draft in a while. The three that went after this pick for Michael Mayer. At number 14, the Green Bay Packers selecting another tight end here, Darnell Washington from Georgia off the board at 14. At 15, the Houston Texans taking Ohio State's Jackson Smith and Jigba. And at number 16, the New York Giants selecting Northwestern tackle Peter Skoronski. So, Ben, of those six picks, which do you think is most likely and why?
I'd say Smith and Jigba to the Texans there, sitting in the middle of the first round. Not wide receiver one as Addison went off the board. I expect Smith and Jigba to be receiver, you know, 2, 3, 4 in there. And the Texans need some help on that offense outside of, you know, Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins. So I could see them in the market for a pass-catching weapon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how these receivers come off the board. You posed that question a week ago, was like, who's going to be wide receiver one in this class? And look, I think at the end of the day, like, Smith and Jigba's got 5 catches this year. You know, he played in that week one game against Notre Dame. He bounced back a little bit, played a couple weeks later, but then was out for a month, and he just returned recently.
Too high, yeah.
Yeah, and at the end of the day,
a
like,
lot
it might
of people
be.
Said Quentin Johnson, wide receiver one, he's not on this mock draft.
Right.
You know, he just had an injury last week. Yep. So, you know, I think the discourse will continue.
Yeah, no question. That's going to be a big discussion. Miles Murphy at 11 to Seattle, I think makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we've made the joke that he's always been pegged to the Eagles no matter where that pick has come. But I think when you look at Miles Murphy, he fits a lot of what Seattle wants to do defensively. He's got that ability to win in a couple different areas. A former big-time recruit, gives them some more juice off the edge. They're looking to continue improving that defense. They've already addressed offensive line last year. They addressed the secondary in a big way this past year as well. So continuing to beef up that front, I think, would make a lot of sense for that defense. All right, let's go to the Eagles' next selection here. And while this first one was off the board there in Michael Mayer, this one has been one of the more reliable, consistent picks in these mock drafts. And that's at number 31, Texas running back Bijan Bijan Robinson. Here's the blurb from Chris. How about Bijan Robinson to replace Miles Sanders in Philly? Fun, right? So, Ben, there's nothing really left for us to say. Bijan Robinson, again, one of the more common picks for a mock draft. I don't think we need to delve too much into this analysis, but we can look at some of the players that went around Bijan in this mock draft. At number 28, the Baltimore Ravens select Penn State tackle Olufoshinu. At number 29, the Denver Broncos taking the other Andre Carter. And I made that point. I haven't seen Western Michigan defensive tackle Andre Carter in a mock draft. He made it in here inside the top 30 in this one from Chris. At number 30, Kansas City selecting pass rusher Felix Anudike Uzomah. And then at number 32, the Buffalo Bills taking Florida guard Osiris Torrance. Ben, of those four picks, which one strikes you just as the best fit? Maybe not. We can talk about whether or not a guy is going to go this high, but who strikes you as the best fit with the team?
You know, that's a tough one there. I like the Olufoshinu pick to the Baltimore Ravens, you know, replacing Morgan Moses there at right tackle, you know, bookend to Ronnie Stanley out there. It's a team willing to, you know, take a flyer on a young player as well. Also, you know,
yeah,
similar to Jason Owe being a young player, raw player out of Penn State as well. So Olufoshinu getting a little younger on that offensive line to the Ravens. I like that pick.
And Baltimore, it feels like the joke every year is like the player they take in the first round and the second round is like, how is that guy still there? That, right. I think people would say that now about Foshino, yep, with the buzz that he has created in recent weeks. For me, it would be Torrance. I think that pick makes a lot of sense for Buffalo, trying to continue to beef up that offensive line. He's kind of a workman-like lineman in terms of his ability to just line up and get after. He's not going to be special from a physical trait standpoint, but I think that's kind of what Buffalo's looking for at this point, is just guys that can come in and give them productive football in the trenches. Let's now round this up. Just our favorite picks on both sides of the football. I'll let you kick things off. Your favorite offensive pick from this mock draft?
I like Skoronski, 16 to the New York Giants. I think he's a starting left guard all day long next to Andrew Thomas. The Giants need to improve their interior line. I think left guard, center, right guard all need to be replaced heading into 2023. You know, to keep Daniel Jones upright and Saquon in the run game, keep adding coals to the furnace, and that's on the trenches. The offensive line needs some help. D-line's starting to get healthy. Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence and Thibodeau will be in year two. Skoronski, I just don't think he has the length to survive out there like Rayshon Slater and some of those other guys. So let's go the Zach Martin route. Let's move him inside. The Joel Petonio route, move him inside. All pro guard, never look back.
I like that pick a lot. For me, I'm going to stay in the NFC East here, Ben. Dallas at number 27, taking LSU wide receiver Kayshon Boutte. Jerry Jones has come out and said he would really love Odell Beckham Jr. in Dallas. Well, how about you go for another LSU wide receiver instead with Boutte? I think he would fit in nicely with CeeDee Lamb and with Michael Gallup, guys you already have in the building. He's got that ability to line up at a couple different spots. He can work in that yards after catch offense that they have built over the course of that tenure there with that coaching staff. I think Boutte makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons there with the Dallas Cowboys. So I do like
that. That'd be a steal.
Selection.
I think he's going to end up being receiver one when it's all said and done.
Really? Yep. And that's the thing.
He's 6 foot, 200 pounds, is good size. Yep. He's going to run 4.40.
Yep.
You know, I just don't know when he's going to be able to show any of that. He's obviously not going to go to any of these all-star games, yep, being a true junior.
He's coming on strong down the stretch, because the, yeah, big question coming in was, oh, you know, like he's not playing that much. He's not getting targeted much in that offense. But now that unit seems to be heating up a little bit, and his numbers have been better
like
over the last month.
In the country. I, yep, mean, I don't see them working their way into the college football playoff.
Yep.
You can see him being one of the opt-outs in their bowl games. Might, yep, not see him on the field, you know, to the combine. So,
good point.
And if then.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Let's now go to the defensive side of the football. One guy I talked about, I gave my defensive game ball this past week, was Oregon corner Christian Gonzalez. He had two picks, including a pick six against his former team last Saturday night. I will go with him going to the Detroit Lions. It seems like Jeffrey Okuda has really hit his stride and one of the better young corners in football based off what he's done this year. I know that defense as a whole has really struggled, but you throw in a guy like Gonzalez who's got outstanding man-to-man capabilities. They've played a ton of man coverage out in Detroit this year, so I think Gonzalez can kind of fit them schematically. They've already shown that they're willing to go to the University of Oregon a number of times to pick some of these players. So Gonzalez goes to Brad Holmes, who is a West Coast area scout by trade. That's what he was with the Rams for so long. So Brad Holmes, the GM for the Lions, he goes back out west to pluck Christian Gonzalez from the Ducks.
Well, you set it up in the NFC North. I'll stay there. And I love the Jared Verse pick to the Minnesota Vikings, which I think is one of the more underrated storylines of 2021, or 2022, excuse me, is the 7-1 Vikings. Just how dominant their defensive front has been.
Yeah.
You know, with Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith, obviously, but guys like DJ Wonnum. I love the no-nonsense kind of attitude and approach from a lot of these guys. Jared Verse might be the strongest power rusher in the class. Yeah. Will Anderson included, Isaiah Foskey included, Nolan Smith included. This guy wants to go right through you and really fits the kind of MO and kind of style of a lot of the guys on the front.
If you're able to bring Jared Verse off the bench with when you kick Za'Darius inside in those as that like spin player, then that is a scary proposition.
Yeah. Danielle Hunter had a great game last week against the Commanders, and there were some plays we were behind the offense. I thought it was Danielle Hunter and it was DJ Wonnum, you know, blasting Charles Leno into the lap of Heineke, and it's a really versatile front up there. They're nasty.
Well, it's a lot to get through. We'll have another mock draft next week. We've got plenty to break down. We'll have more All-Star game announcements on all of that. Make sure you check out a lot of Ben's work on Twitter at @BenFennell_NFL. Ben, we'll talk to you next week here on the Journey of the Draft podcast presented by Life Brand.
Now it's time for Pick Six.
All right, well, back to relive the action from last week and spin things forward here to this week in college football. My friend Ross Tucker here for Pick Six as we look back at what happened last week. And Ross, you had a 7-point game. Or yeah, you had a 7-point lead going into last weekend, and I caught you, man. I had a big week here this week. I picked Florida over Texas A&M. That got me a couple points. You picked one back in that Georgia-Tennessee matchup with the touchdowns for Cedric Tillman. Big one here for me, where Michigan State upsets Illinois 23-15. That gives me my second upset win of the season. You just fell short. You had Auburn and Mississippi State. Auburn took them to overtime, but the Bulldogs able to pull this one out. So I am able now to take a 2-point lead as we go into Week 11.
Unbelievable! I can't believe Illinois was at home. And they've been playing so well, and to lose like that to Michigan State was very surprising. And then Auburn, I thought they'd get the Cadillac Williams boost. I was actually in the airport in San Diego watching that game because I was waiting for the red eye back after San Diego State against UNLV. Such a bummer, man. But it's a big swing, really big swing.
Yeah, we'll see. And we know how fast things can change, so I got to keep it up here this week. I do think that Auburn's got a little bit of juice there with Cadillac Williams. We'll see if he can maintain that here through the back stretch of the season. Let's go to our first pick'em here. 2-point swing here for these two games. First one, Appalachian State, Marshall, going to the Group of Five, going to Conference USA. Who do you like here between App State and the Thundering Herd?
Yeah, your picks are hard this week. Really, really hard. I'm going to go App State. I don't necessarily feel great about it. I think these are pretty even teams. They've both had really up and down seasons, right? App State winning at A&M, Marshall winning at Notre Dame, but then they've had some surprising losses as well. I could give a whole lot of logic for why I like App State, but I don't really have it. I'm just going to say App State.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, this is a tough one. Like you said, as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, this would be a fun one to be able to go through. I am going to go Marshall here. Marshall's at home. That offense, they've been a little bit up and down this season, especially these last couple weeks, haven't really been able to turn it on, whereas I felt like they were a little bit hotter early on. But let's see if they can get back on track here against App State, against the Mountaineers. I do like the Thundering Herd at home. We'll see if they can keep things rolling. Let's now go to the SEC. LSU, obviously a huge win over Alabama this week. Can they keep that momentum going against Arkansas? That is our second pick'em. Again, these are worth 2 points, Ross. LSU or the Razorbacks, who do you like here?
Another one that was tough for me, Fran, that I kind of went back and forth on, but I'm going to go with Arkansas. Going to go with the Razorbacks. I am a believer in the letdown game in college football. It's tough. Everybody's been telling LSU how great they are all week. Those kids can do no wrong. They beat Alabama. They don't need to worry about Arkansas. Meanwhile, for Arkansas, this is like their chance to have a really big win to beat LSU after the season they've been having. So I'm going to go with the Razorbacks. They're not as good as LSU, but it's a good spot to pick them.
This is a big spot here for Brian Kelly. I would say probably his biggest test to date is keeping that team engaged here for this game. But I'm going to go with LSU. I think they've kind of found something here on offense. Jaden Daniels, his playmaking ability can be matched by KJ Jefferson. I have long been a KJ Jefferson fan these last couple years, but I am going to go with Jaden Daniels and the Bayou Bengals. Give me LSU here in this one. So we're on either side here, opposite sides for both of those pick'ems. Let's now get into three of our one-point categories. We'll start with an over-under, and the over-under number here this week is 2.5, and that is representative of the amount of touchdowns for North Carolina quarterback Drake May, absolute stud, not eligible for this draft, but will be eligible the year after. They take on Wake Forest, and has been a somewhat stingy pass defense down there for the Demon Deacons. 2.5 touchdowns for Drake May going up against Wake.
So passing touchdowns or total
passing
touchdowns?
We will call this passing touchdowns. Thank you for clarifying.
All right. Well, I'm still going to go over. I know Wake Forest defense has been pretty good, but Drake May's really good. And I think he'll throw for 3 touchdowns in this game. So a lot of people think he'd be the number one quarterback if he could come out this year, which is crazy, over like Stroud and Bryce Young, but he's been really impressive. I will go over.
Yeah, I have not done the deep dive yet on Drake May. Certainly the vibes are very, very good. It's been fun watching him play. I know Dane Brugler had tweeted that out, that he felt that Drake May could be QB1 if he were to enter this class. I do wonder, you know, and this is how it is almost every year, right? It's like, oh, wait till next year's class. So, you know, we've got plenty of time to pick Drake May apart over the next several months. But a really fun player, no question. I will also take the over. I was hoping to bait you there on the under with Wake Forest defense. Let's go to the next category here, and either or, and the question is, who has more points? Big battle in the Big 12 this week. TCU, Texas. Who has more points as an individual player? TCU wide receiver Quentin Johnson or Texas running back Bijan Robinson? The push will go to Quentin Johnson just because Johnson's got, I think, 1 or 2 less touchdowns than Robinson on the year. But who has more points in this game? Who scores more touchdowns, essentially? Quentin Johnson or Bijan Robinson, both likely first-round picks come next April.
I'll go Bijan Robinson because I think it's a little bit easier to defend a receiver like Johnston and make sure you have safety help, make sure you have good matchups on him. Whereas Bijan Robinson can get a touchdown down near the goal line, and he's really good out of the backfield. And I think Sark can scheme something out for him, yep. You know, catching passes out of the backfield, which is a little bit tougher than for a receiver. So I'll go Bijan.
So unlike you, because you usually go for the whoever's got the push, and you're like, oh, there's more of a chance that they could tie. I'm going to go with the push. I'm going to steal one from your playbook here. I'll go Quentin Johnston here. He has been, especially over the last month, his production has been so good. He has won a number of games there for the Horned Frogs. And look, if I'm going to take the chance that not only does he beat Bijan, but also has the ability to tie him, and I still get the point, I will take Quentin Johnston here in this matchup. Our last one pointer, a high low, and which number is higher? This is a fun one. And again, this is right up your wheelhouse because I know how you treat these margin of victories. Florida's margin of victory over South Carolina, so the Gators taking on the Gamecocks here this weekend, or the number of SEC teams in the next round of college football playoff rankings. And just looking at the top 10, the number of SEC teams in college football playoff top 10 with the next round of rankings next week.
I'm going Florida margin.
Ooh.
They played really well against A&M. I'm pretty impressed by how they played. Now they play South Carolina. I think they'll probably win by a touchdown or more, and there won't be that many in the college football playoff top 10. So give me the Florida margin.
Dude, you never take the margin. You are going completely opposite of how you typically go. I am shocked by this recent development. I really have shell-shocked you with me overtaking you this past week.
You know what? You might be right. You're right, because I usually always go with them. Well, they could lose the game. I need to do something different after last week. I got to change it up.
All right, well, let's see, because we know the big swings now come on our upset specials. Again, these are 8-point victories here, if you can correctly pick an upset. Ross, at some point, I am going to go back and look at just how many of these we picked correctly against the spread, because I know our record is very, very strong with these. We've only picked like 3 or 4 straight up this season, but, man, we are nailing these upset specials. So I will let you go first. Who do you like a little bit closer than what people think?
Yeah, there was a couple I thought of this week. Hawaii, against Utah State. I even had some thought about Maryland over Penn State, actually, because Maryland coming off a bad loss to Wisconsin. But I'm going to end up going with Rice. Rice over Western Kentucky. Rice plays a physical brand of football. I haven't been overly impressed by Western Kentucky this year. Give me the Rice Owls.
Wow.
over Western Kentucky.
I am going to go with the interstate rivalry here, going down to the Sunshine State, FIU over FAU, over the Owls down there in the state of Florida. I'm going to go with Florida International. Don't tell me why. Don't ask me why. I'm just going to go gut feeling here. Give me FIU over FAU. We'll see if I'm able to further extend my lead here and pick my third upset of the season. Ross, always great to catch up with you. We'll see if we'll see who comes out on top this week. Another crazy weekend of college football ahead.
It really, really was last weekend. Hopefully is again this weekend. Love doing this with you, Fran.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
Always fun catching up with Ross Tucker. Let's round the show out now with our draft mailbag. We got a new mock draft here from an Eagles fan who did an Eagles-only mock draft. It came in on our Apple podcast page, who Gavin left a 5-star review with this mock draft. And again, if you've got a mock draft or a question or rankings for us to break down, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating, leave us the question in the comment section. We'll break it down here in an episode. And here are the three picks from Gavin. Again, a 2-round mock draft. I believe he did it over at Pro Football Focus. Here are the three picks. At number 11, the Eagles selecting Georgia corner Kaylee Ringo. At number 31, Maryland left tackle Jalen Duncan. And at number 50, Appalachian State pass rusher Nick Hampton. So let me go through these three picks real quick. Kaylee Ringo, I love that addition. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think when you look at this Eagles secondary, looking to add reinforcements there with Ringo, who it seems to be consensus, the number one corner in this draft, playing for an outstanding defense. He's got outstanding height, weight, speed. The traits are all there. Maybe not a complete finished product coming into the year, but continuing to show flash after flash after flash. And look at that position. Not only is it a traits position, but also you can see guys continue to improve throughout the course of their college career. Kaylee Ringo, a lot to be excited about with that pick. At number 31, Jalen Duncan. That makes a lot of sense just from in terms of that slot for him, because I don't think that Jalen Duncan is like a special pass protector or an overly powerful run blocker, but you're checking a lot of boxes with him. He's a senior tackle. He's played a lot of football. He can do a little bit of everything. I think plugging him in would make a lot of sense. Continue to bolster the offensive line. We know that is the MO of this organization. And then with Nick Hampton, he's just a really fun player. This guy is all kinds of souped up off the edge. He kind of fits that Hassan Reddick mold in terms of being a do-everything Sam linebacker. But I think he can be a guy that can put his hand in the ground and get after the quarterback as a consistent defensive end as well. So just adding more juice to the pass rush. Can't argue with that. And three priority positions here with corner, tackle, and pass rusher. Gavin, I think that's a job well done there with your mock draft. Great stuff this week from Ross Tucker, Ben Fennell, and Kevin Nagandi. We'll be back early next week right here on the Journey of the Draft podcast presented by LifeBrand.